May I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps, like me, you've been attending church for many, many years, and in which case you will have heard the same portions of Scripture being read over and over again, because every 3 years we have the same three Scriptures, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then back again to Matthew. This year, as in every year, we always hear the Transfiguration. So you will have heard the Transfiguration story many, many times if you've been coming here a long time. And because we've heard it so many times, you know, it's so easy just to skim over it and not really listen and hear and take it to heart what it's saying to us. So let us just think about the real significance of some of the things that were happening up on that mountain on that day. So come with me, if you will, and we'll have a hike up the mountain. We'll go to the top. And as you come, you may want to close your eyes and just imagine yourself plodding up that mountain. It's a hot day. Your heart's pounding. Maybe your legs are aching. But you keep going. You keep following Jesus until you get to the top. And then when you reach the summit, even though you're out of breath, you look around and the scenery is breathtaking. And you think, yes, it was worth a good climb. Isn't it lovely up here? But what is lovely is going to get even better. Because after taking this amazing scenery into our hearts, we suddenly look at the Lord Jesus. And he's taken on a stunning appearance. Because his face is so brilliant that we can't even look at him. It's like looking into the sun and we hide our eyes. It's almost hurting our eyes. He's so brilliant. And you're thinking, is this the heat? Is this the climb that's made me feel a bit dizzy? And then you look again and it's not just his face that's so shining. It's his clothes. They're translucent. They're white. Whiter than you ever noticed ever before. And again, you think, gosh, am I going to be fainting in a minute? Do I feel ill? And then you look at your companions and you can see actually that they are experiencing the same astonishing phenomenon. You don't exchange any words, but by their reaction, you realize that they too are seeing Jesus transfigured before them. And then, as if this revelation isn't enough, suddenly, standing with Jesus, appears Moses and Elijah, and they're talking, and you're trying to hear what they're saying, but you can't get quite close enough, but they're actually talking with these two men, and I wonder what they're saying. In all of what is happening, you start to build dwellings, but while speaking, yet another amazing things happened, because it's a lovely clear day. There aren't any clouds in the sky, and yet suddenly from almost nowhere comes a beautiful bright clouds, like silver lining in it, and you hear a voice coming from this cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Well, honestly, this is too much for us mortal humans. And we fall to the ground, shaking, traumatized with these events. We just don't know what's happening. And we lay there for quite a long time, terrified, wondering what's going to be happening next. Is this the end of the world? You just don't know. You're frightened. And then we become very aware of someone kneeling beside us, just touching our heads very gently. And it's Jesus. And he says to us, "Get up and do not be afraid." Rubbing our eyes, we get up and we look around. Moses and Elijah have left. And Jesus leads us back down the mountain. And as he does, he says to us, "Don't speak of this experience until I've been raised from the dead." And we look at each other and we think, "Raised from the dead? What's he talking about?" I'm going to stop at that point. What I want to try and achieve this morning is that if you are someone here today that has doubts about life after death, about what's going to be happening, how you will be, I want you to take this scripture to heart. And I want you to go away really, really believing that your death, whenever that's going to be, and one of us here, it'll be the next turn, we don't know who it is, it might be me, but someone here will be the next one. And I want you to be sure that when you get to that point, you really believe that Jesus is the Lord and that you're going on to something better, another life, a new life, an eternal life, a real life, and hopefully spent in the glorious presence of God himself. Many folk have a real problem in believing that the next life will be so special that we will have a body, a proper body. And I've come across so many people over the years saying, oh, well, I think we're just going to be a blob, a spirit floating around. No, folks, you will have a body, a proper body, the one that you've got now, but eternal, resurrected. Yes, you may well believe that Jesus rose in body form from the dead and had a body that could pass through a locked door. He could go on the beach and barbecue a lovely breakfast for those disciples, and even allow doubting Thomas to touch his hands and his feet and feel those wounds, or where the nails had pierced him. But you know, because we live in such a materialistic world, our vision of the future tends to end there. Yes, we believe, but. And then again, look back at this amazing gospel for today, which should really try and excite us and encourage us and give us a very unique little picture into what we can expect in the next life. Because, you know, it's very easy to pass over those words and forget that Moses had actually been dead over 1,300 years. 1,300 years he had been dead. And Elijah had left the earth 900 years ago. And yet here they were, speaking. They didn't say they were ghosts. They were talking. But even more amazing, if you stop and think about it, is that the disciples knew who they were. How did they know who they were? They'd never met them. There wasn't any television, internet. There wasn't any Facebook, photographs. But they knew who they were. And that's an amazing fact, and it's something we can gloss over without taking it to heart. But what it means is that we will all have a body on the other side, and it will be recognised. And isn't it lovely to think we're going to recognise family that have died years ago, we didn't know them even, perhaps. I think this account today, you know, makes the television programme Long Lost Family pale into insignificance. You imagine who we're going to meet, and we would know them instantly. And I think that is amazing. So really I want you to think very seriously about the next life, because it is so important. This is why we're all here this morning. We're not here just because it's a Sunday and it's something to do because it's wet outside. We're here because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that we too, if we believe that, will have resurrected bodies and live in eternity with him. Friends, you know, a God who created our amazing world, the planet, the stunning life that we see, has definitely got something really exciting round the corner for us. And there's that lovely scripture which I so love, which says, no eye has seen or heart even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, it's going to be out of this world, literally. And it's no good us trying to think what it might be like, because we don't know, because it'll be out of our realm. There won't be words to explain or express what God has prepared for us. But a God who can create the world that we live in now. You know, you only got to think of something that for you is exciting, whether it's a polar bear or a giraffe or a gnat or a ladybird or my dogs. Whatever it is, you know, God has created all this. So he can create amazing things in the next life. And once we really take this on board, the truth that there is another life, a real life, it's so imperative that we do all we can to further our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering those iconic words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me." We live in an age now when we all have got PIN numbers, haven't we, and passwords for this, that, and the other. Well, for Christians, Jesus is our password. That's the only word that gets us into heaven. Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord. I was taking a funeral last week at a crematorium. It was absolutely packed. And I was having a go at them about our eternal life. Not quite as I've done this morning, but I did sort of put on the line that it's time to think about the future. And afterwards, a lovely gentleman came up to me and he said to me, "All you said just now is absolutely true." He said, "Thank you for saying that." And I said, "Tell me more." And he said, "Yes." He said, "Some years ago, I had a very serious operation and I died on the table." And he said, "I actually felt myself leave my body and I could see myself lying there. And I floated out of the room to somewhere," he said, "I don't know where." And then he said, "I was very aware of someone saying to me, 'Go back, go back. I'm going to give you another chance. Put your life in order.'" And he said, "Believe it or not," he said, "I did." He said, "I felt myself floating back down into the theatre room, into my body, and I came to. And they said afterwards I had died for quite a few minutes, that my pulse had stopped." And then he said, "When I recovered from the operation, I started going to church." And he said, "I did an Alpha course." And he said, "I found Jesus, and it changed my life. And I know now why God sent me back. He gave me another chance." He said, "I was the lucky one." And he was, wasn't he? Well, if you were here last week in Derwin's sermon, he talked about the word myth, and it cropped up many times. And in our epistle today, we hear Peter saying those same words. He said to the disciples, he said, they did not use cleverly devised myths when speaking of the majestic power of Jesus. And he was able to say this because he'd been there on that mountain with James and John, and he witnessed the events that we hear about today in our gospel reading. He was a witness. He was there. And so the epistle gives us a very challenging command, saying, you will do well to be attentive to this. If you are someone who does have doubts, and we all do from time to time, please, please don't let worldly values and interests get in the way. We're going to be holding an Alpha taster morning. We're calling it Cafe Alpha. When you're going to watch a little part of a DVD, it's just a 20-minute DVD on the Alpha course, and it's called "Is There More to Life Than This?" And you'll have an opportunity to ask questions, to ask the sort of questions you don't get a chance to ask on a morning like this. And then if you're interested, after Easter, we're starting our new Alpha course on Monday evenings. And I know some people say, "Oh, I can't stand Nicky Gumbel." Well, whether you can or not, the new DVDs have very little Nicky in them. They're two young people, they're delightful, and lots of interviews with very interesting people. So if you've got any doubts at all, please, please think very seriously about sorting your life out. So finally, I'm going to say to you, it is not a myth that Jesus is God's Son. It's not a myth that he died on the cross. It's not a myth that he rose again. It's not a myth that Jesus is alive today. And it's certainly not a myth that there is no life after death, because there is life after death, real life. and as God said on the mountain to the frightened disciples. He's saying this to us this morning. This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And in Peter's words from the epistle, you will do well to be attentive to this.